Morning. My name's Gordon, one of the ministers here. I want to show you an optical illusion. This is called the checker shadow illusion. Anyone come across this before? Probably seen things like it, but I don't know if you can see. There is a box with an A on it and a box with a B, a square with a B on it. A and B, they're both near the green thing. And those two squares are the same shade of grey. Now, I know that. I'm telling you that. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm looking at it, and I know that, and my brain will not agree that those two squares are the same shade of grey. I have stared at it. I have tried to put my hand between the ones in between, and I still do not believe the only way that I can possibly tell my brain that they are the same is if I just move the two together. And then I finally agree. But if I go back to the normal picture, I think, no, they're not the same. But they are. And things are like that. You can stare at some things for a long time. And it might even be obvious what it is, but it doesn't look like it. It is not clear to you, however closely you look at it. Good Friday remembers the day that Jesus was crucified. Try to picture Jesus on the cross. What do you see? A crucifixion was a public event. Many people would see crucifixions. Many people saw the crucifixion of Jesus, and they saw it for hours. They stood there watching for hours. What did they see? Most of the people saw nothing more than just another man dying on another Roman cross. But there was so much more for them, so much more for them and us to see. And I want us to consider that this morning by focusing on two things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. Two things he said before he died. One was a prayer, one was a promise. So firstly, Jesus prayed. Now, as I said, crucifixion was a public event, but it was also a very brutal and common form of execution in the Roman Empire. It was humiliating. It was painful. And yet, in the midst of such an experience, Jesus still prayed for those who were responsible for his execution. I'll read the verses in the account. This is from verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Now he prays that God would forgive them. And then he adds, they don't know what they're doing. What didn't they know? There were three groups speaking up at the scene, and they all shared the same mistake. Spot the repetitions here. Verse 35, this is about the rulers. Verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." Then there's the soldiers, verse 36. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And then there was one of the other people being executed. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Now, in Luke's Gospel, there have been 22 other chapters before now. There's Luke's Gospel. It's not very big. It's only 24 chapters. Well, there have been 22 chapters before this chapter. And the reader has been given an orderly account eyewitness details from the life of Jesus to make it plain that he really was God's Messiah. Now, you can make that conclusion for yourself. You can take one of these at the end of the service, read it for yourself. The evidence is there. The people at the crucifixion had seen Jesus. They heard Jesus. And they had seen enough of this evidence that he is the Messiah. He is God's King. But they obviously didn't believe it. Now, Jesus had to be God's King. He had to be God's chosen Messiah, the one with God's authority on earth, because as the King, he could save others. He had God's authority to save. And the way that he would save would be by dying in their place, the innocent for the guilty, taking God's punishment away from the guilty and on himself. Now, he would not use that authority to save himself. Then darkness comes over the land from noon till 3 p.m., and it's a graphic sign that God is involved in what's going on. Yes, God is judging, but he is judging the innocent instead of the guilty. He is judging his son, the Messiah. And Jesus prays, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing." See, it's a prayer that takes us to the heart of Jesus' ministry. It's a prayer, well, it's a prayer for us too. Because who would knowingly, willfully set themselves up against God? Who would take on God? Who, if they knew what they were doing, would have his perfect son executed? Now, the people in Luke 23 were doing it literally. Yes, they had their own motives, and those motives were generally self-serving, unjust, but ultimately they amounted to rebellion against God. But when any of us here live our life the way that we want to live it, without reference to God, without fear or without honouring God, without submitting to God, ignoring him, ignoring the fact that he has given us life and everything, when we live that way, we are guilty of the same thing, rebellion against God. We don't know what we're doing. It's like the account of the Navy captain, you know, the dark, stormy night, and he gets the message saying that there's a light off the bow and they're on a collision course. And so he says, "Quick, send them a message. Change your course, starboard right, 20 degrees. Well, the message is sent, but a reply comes back almost straight away. "You change your course, starboard right, 20 degrees. Well, this captain's not used to this kind of behaviour. He always gets his way. He's furious. He sends the message back. He says, "This is Captain Masters of His Majesty's Battleship Formidable, starboard right. Now..." And he gets the reply, "This is Bill Smith. I'm a lighthouse keeper. Your call." You see, you would never knowingly, willingly take on something that you have no chance of survival against if you knew what you were doing. Jesus prays for those responsible for his crucifixion. "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And that prayer, well, that prayer extends to us. Good Friday, the cross of Jesus, is about the offer of forgiveness for the guilty. And there's a beginning of God's answer to that prayer in the second thing that Jesus says. So I want to consider that now. Jesus promises. See, Jesus promises a man in this account the thing that probably every person alive wants. See verse 43, "Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Now, paradise is forgiveness with God. It is life in his eternal kingdom. According to Jesus, this man Well, this is a man that we could literally meet one day if we go to be with God. Don't know his name? You could ask him his name. It's a real guy. He's really with God. If we go to be with God, we could meet him one day, according to Jesus. But he would have been one of the last people we would have thought would be there if we'd had met him in Jesus' day. Have a look at how he describes himself. See, after that first criminal has finished abusing Jesus, look at verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." He's self-convicted. He says he deserves his punishment, a death sentence. He offers no excuses, guilty as charged. And then he does the opposite to what everyone else has done. See verse 42. "Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" He recognises Jesus' kingship. He doesn't make a mockery of it. He recognises it. Right there, on the verge of death. But that wasn't the end. "Remember me when you come as king." It's a bit like speaking of Prince Charles the morning of his coronation, the 6th of May last year. Imagine seeing him at breakfast. He was still Prince Charles. And you could say, you know, "Charles, when you're king, maybe you could, maybe make me an earl or something." Well, he wasn't king yet, but he was about to be later on that day. Well, this man is speaking to Jesus in the same kind of way. But Jesus is about to die. Within hours, he would be dead. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, maybe this criminal had heard Jesus teaching in the towns, teaching on the kingdom of God. And maybe it's that he saw that Jesus prayed for those killing him rather than just railing against them and railing against God and the injustice of it all. And then the penny dropped. He's the one. He's the one at the center of God's kingdom. He's the Messiah. And so the other thing that everyone else failed to understand, this guy gets: "Remember me. Please show me favour once you're crowned." Now, he knows he doesn't deserve anything. He's just said that. What he deserves is what he's getting. So this is a request for undeserved mercy. See, Jesus wasn't there to save himself. You know, if you're the Messiah, save yourself. He's not there to save himself. And if he's not there to save himself, who is he there to save? He'd come to save the guilty. And this guy, well, this guy knew he had plenty of guilt to offer. It's really an outrageous request when the guilty who deserve punishment want favour from the one they're guilty before. Normally, that doesn't end well. There was an account of a bank worker who in 2016, his bank realised he'd been siphoning off money, $5,000 about. They reported it to the police. He got wind of it, so he quit and he disappeared. 2 years later, this guy's still on the run, decides to look for another job. He applies for a job at the local police station. Police recognise his name. They call him in for the job interview and then they arrest him. And so they should. No favours from them. That's what he deserved. And that's what this guy deserved. That's what deserved to happen to him before God. And that's what we all deserve before God. No favours. What we deserve is punishment. But Good Friday is about getting what's not deserved, forgiveness. How do you clean a conscience? How do you undo past wrongs? How do you remove a guilty record before God? We can't, which is why Jesus came. He wasn't just another man dying on another Roman cross. He was God's perfect Son, his chosen King, the innocent dying for the guilty. And he prayed for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the way to receive that forgiveness is to acknowledge our guilt and to ask for that same undeserved mercy under his rule. Today I tell you, you'll be with me in paradise. Picture Jesus hanging on the cross. What do you see? Thank you.